Blog Talk Radio. Right. Slum, good morning. Welcome once again to another episode of Spoiler Truth Presents Bible Talk. My name is Mashaba. I'm one of the teachers with the Israelite School of Biblical History and Practical Knowledge. I'd like to welcome you to our morning broadcast this morning. As I'm broadcasting from a remote location outside of our school in Albuquerque, Mexico, which is located at 7710 Suite F, Manal Boulevard Northeast, Albuquerque, New Mexico, 87110. We have classes there Mondays and Wednesdays from 8 p.m. To 10 p.m., and then on Tuesdays and Thursdays from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. there in Albuquerque. We also have school locations in San Antonio, Texas, at 4219 Centigate Drive, San Antonio, Texas, 78217. Meet the zip code there. They have classes every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday here in San Antonio. Our class times are from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. And then there's a Sabbath ceremony that's also held every Saturday starting at 10 o'clock. Any and everybody's more than welcome to join and participate in. As you know, we have our school in Houston. They have classes Monday through Saturday, but they broadcast their show. They do a live broadcast on Mondays and Wednesdays from, again, 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. And then again on Saturdays from 10 p.m. to 2 p.m., 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. And you can, if you'd like to watch any of their live stream classes, we ask you to like, share, and subscribe to the YouTube channel, ISBHBK Live. That's ISBHBK Live. If you'd like to be able to live stream the classes that are being broadcast or live streamed from our school location in Houston, Texas. If you're in the Houston area, we invite you to please go by the school, 8524 South Brazil Boulevard, Houston, Texas, 77071, being the zip code out there. And also our location in Norfolk, Virginia, which is at 2610 Grambley Street, Norfolk, Virginia. That's 2610, excuse me, Grambley Street, there in Norfolk. And they broadcast their classes, even though they have classes Monday through Saturday as well. They do a live stream YouTube broadcast on Tuesdays and Thursdays from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. And then they come back Friday nights and do a live stream from 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. And that's ISBHPK Norfolk Live. So we invite you to like, share, and subscribe to all the YouTube channels that we have going on. If you'd like to be able to watch live into the classes that are being broadcast again out of San Antonio, out of Houston and Norfolk. And if you're in the San Antonio area, please come and join us. And definitely if you're in the Albuquerque area, we ask you to come and join us at 7710 Suite F, Manal Boulevard Northeast, Albuquerque, New Mexico, 87110. And we also to remind you that on Saturdays, there in Albuquerque, we have the Sabbath feast that's held every Saturday. And what we've determined and what happens is we get together and we go over the Torah readings every Saturday. But we do it at a park. We do it at a park or outdoor location where brothers and sisters decided that it's a little bit more closer to nature and trying to get away from the trying devices, get away from some of the distractions that are so readily available to us, and be able to get a chance to just really enjoy each other's company. And going with the words of Leviticus chapter 23, that the Sabbath is supposed to be a feast. So not only do we come together and go over scriptures on Saturday, we also get together and have a feast. And so we invite, if you'd like to join us, I invite you to please get in touch with the brother Asher Whitezah, air code 505-218-4218. Call him or text him. If you'd like information on what location they'll be going to observe the Sabbath and get bring all families together, bring food, dishes, bring drinks, place, what have you, and really, really enjoying each other's company, enjoying some great food, and going over the scriptures every Sabbath there in Albuquerque, New Mexico. Okay. With that, all that being said, just a few more reminders, real quick. We know that December. Yeah, I know it's a whole month away, but December 19th at sunset does begin the Hebrew holiday of Hanukkah, or the Feast of Dedication. And that lasts for 8 days or 7 days, and that goes through the 26th. That's going through December 26th, right? And in different locations, they're going to be having different observances. So if you'd like to participate in any one of the cities in Albuquerque, San Antonio, Houston, or Norfolk, please get in touch with any one of those schools. You can go on to isbhpk.org, the website we have established. If you'd like to get any further information on how you might be able to support or congregate for the holiday coming up, known as Hanukkah or the Feast of Dedication. Okay. Glenn put out there, on January 5th, there's going to be a raffle held in Albuquerque to help raise money for the school, and the raffle is for a beautiful garment. It's for the tunic, headband, armbands, and the girdle, some immaculate, beautiful, very, very handy leather work that's been done. And for an opportunity to win this garment or to get this garment and have it customized to fit you, raffle ticket prices are $30. All right, raffle ticket prices are $30. So we invite you to go by the school, 7710 Suite F, Menard Boulevard, Northeast, Albuquerque, New Mexico, 87110. We invite you to go by the school on Mondays, Wednesdays, Tuesdays, Thursdays, or Saturdays for the Sabbath. That you might be able to purchase a ticket that shows support for the school. The sisters are getting together and wrapping off this garment to help raise money for the sewing department out there in Albuquerque. So we invite you to help out and show support and a chance to go ahead and get you a beautiful garment from the raffle. Okay. With all that being said, I'm going to join in. I'm not sure if he's ready yet or not. I'm going to see if he's ready. Shalom, Ahmad, are you there?
I am here. Shalom. Good morning.
Shalom, sir. How about Shema Shabbatah?
Hey, how about Shema Shabbatah?
All right, cool. For this morning's class, I wanted to try and go into it last night, but again, I got the notice that there was going to be the possibility of some new people coming to class last night. So I didn't want to go too hardcore, too deep into some scriptures. But one thing I did want to go over is for brothers and sisters that have been into the work for a while, for brothers and sisters that have been in this work, in the service of the Lord for a minute, there comes times where we get numb. There comes times where we get stale. There comes times where it gets dry, and we're looking for motivation. We're looking for inspiration, and sometimes in that idleness that happens, in that staleness that happens, in that stalemate, it can lead to negative. It can lead to us dibbling and dabbling and do some things that we shouldn't, just trying to find some type of inspiration. Just trying to find some type of stimulation. And I wanted to, again, go over a few of these scriptures as a reminder to myself, not so much as to chastise or criticize anybody else, but as a reminder for myself that we have to stay positive. We've got to stay positive. We need to stay motivated. We have to, you know, as they say, keep our eye on the prize. And one thing I wanted to read this morning as we were going to this class, and I call it spiritual tax, usury, spiritual tax. So we know that just like here in America, we have to pay our taxes. That if you own land, you might be the actual landowner, you have to pay your land tax. If you purchase anything, once you get it, you have to pay a tax. And keeping in a mindset, we also understand that with Christ waking up to this knowledge, with Christ waking us up to who we are, that there's a tax that is required. There's, and I'm not so much talking about a financial tax that's required, but it's a spiritual tax that we're required to invest and required to give more and more of ourselves, give more and more of our spirits to the Most High. And I just want to kind of go over some of these scriptures as I'm reminding myself that maybe I might be able to help someone else who might be going through something similar. Just to help get things back on track, because it does happen. All right, we know that from Ecclesiastes chapter 2 and verse 1. Andy Fox, where it says, as we come to serve the Lord, we need to prepare ourselves for temptations. That if we look at the life of Christ, if we look at the life of what Christ went through, we know he was tempted several times that we can actually read about. We know that when he first started his ministry at the age of 30, after being baptized by John the Baptist, that he went on a 40-day fast. And at the end of that 40-day fast, that he was tempted to eat. And he was also tempted by questioning his purpose. Are you really the Son of God? Are you really the Son of the Most High? That these things were brought into question. These things were brought into the test of integrity. And that we also, as Israelites, that we're going to face a lot of these same type of things as we follow Christ. That as we are following the footsteps of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that we got to understand that we're going to go through a lot of similar things. All right? We're going to go through many similar things. And hopefully, as we go through some of these scriptures this morning, we can get some insight into this and remembrance about these things. So I wanted to go to 2 Peter chapter 3, and we're going to start at verse 1. 2 Peter chapter 3, I'm going to start at verse 1. And brother Imad, if you're available to help read for me, brother, I sure would appreciate it. And Imad, if you have anything you would like to ever interject while we're going through this class, brother, please don't hesitate to bring it out. It helps. Everything does help. Well, so,
okay, you said 2 Peter, right?
Yes, sir. 2 Peter chapter 3, we'll start at verse 1, and I would like to read through verse 3. No, actually, verse 4. We're going to read through verse 4.
Okay. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 1. This second epistle, beloved, I now write to you, in both which I stir you up, in which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance.
Now, one reason I want to get to the scripture right here, Peter, as we know, Peter was one of the 12 original disciples, became one of the 12 original apostles. Peter is the one that Christ said that he's going to give the keys to the kingdom of heaven to. And then Peter was very, very, a very key person when it came to Christ's ministry. He was a very key person when it came to the disseminating or the teaching of the gospel to the masses. We know that Peter was commissioned first to go to Cornelius and bring the gospel to Cornelius. And then after that, we know that he was pretty much given to teach the circumcision or teach the Jews that knew they were Jews but didn't really know about Christ. And that for the 3 years that Peter got to actually hang around Yahweh Shai, hang around Christ and get to learn from him, see him, absorb him, that he was very instrumental in the teaching and the reviving of Israelites during that time. So one thing that Peter is letting us know here in verse 1, he says, the second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance. And one thing that stood out to me in the scripture here is the necessity to stir up our pure minds. That as we get involved with this work, as we get involved with finding out that we're Israelites, finding out that the Savior, the Lord and Savior, looks like us, the Lord and Savior is for us, and that we have a much greater future, that we have a much greater destiny than to just live, die, to live, work, and die. To find out that we are, in our past, we were the great kings and kings of the earth. To find out that the major empires of the planet, earth, were ruled by our forefathers. It was from the ancient kingdom of Israel through the Holy Roman Empire, through England, Germany, Europe, down in Africa, from Timbuktu to Dahomey, that was all us. That truly was the Israelites. All right? That we have a very great and in-depth world history, and that we've mattered, had a great impact on world history, that we're not just a bunch of Africans, so-called Africans, just running around the jungle butt naked and was brought over to the Americas, or that we weren't just a bunch of natives running around North America, Central South America, barely above the education of a caveman, just living off the land and just eating berries and running around butt naked, that we really have a vast, great history. We really have a vast, great impact upon the earth, a very great, very, vast and great. We made a difference, and that we have a great future to look forward to, that what is known as the kingdom of heaven, which is going to be on earth. It's not going to be up in the sky somewhere. It's not going to be up in the clouds somewhere. But as we're awaiting the return of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that the kingdom of heaven is for us. So that the kingdom of heaven, with all its power, rulership, and authority, there'll be co-rulers with Christ, co-heirs with Christ, and to sit upon those thrones, sit upon and judging the 12 tribes of Israel, and keeping order and balance and righteousness vivid and alive in the earth, that we have a very great future to look forward to. So when we first come in to hear all these things, there's a joy that comes with it. There's a burning that comes with it. There's an adrenaline rush when we first hear these things. But after a while, that starts to fade out. That starts to fade out. So one thing I'm loving that Peter left for us here is that he said, the second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance. That if you want to get your pure mind stirred back up, how is that done? And as he's saying right here, through remembrance. That we've got to remember. We've got to be brought back to remember. Because what happens is, you know, like the saying in the world says, if you don't use it, you'll lose it. It might be, that's just how the saying goes. If you don't use it, you will lose it. And let me see here, I'm getting some text. And again, if anybody's got any questions or comments or scriptures, please hit me up at area code 210-784-8463. Again, that's 210-784-8463. And while we're done, I got you. For water. Why did I send you a text for the definition of pure? Now, a text for the definition of pure, and it's from the dictionary.com, and it says free from anything of a different, inferior, or contaminated kind. Free from extraneous matter. Okay? So if we want to stir up our pure minds, that is free from anything of a different, inferior, or contaminated kind, then how do we get back to that? How do we get back to that mind that's pure? It's just by way of remembrance. We know that one of the things that Christ told us he was going to send in St. John chapter 14, verse 26 to 15, 26, he talked about the Holy Spirit. He talked about the Comforter that was going to bring all things back to our remembrance, whatsoever things Christ has said to us, and that it was going to be by way of remembering the words of Christ. It's going to be by way of remembering the lessons that we're given. It's going to be by way of remembering what this is all about, by way of remembering the scriptures, that it was going to help us get back to our pure minds. Because as we know that one of the devices of our enemies is to cut off the nation of Israel from being a nation, to cut off the nation of Israel from actually gathering together. We read that from the 83rd Psalms, where it was prophesied how our enemies really wanted to cut the name of Israel from among us and let us not come together as a nation. Let us not come together as a people, remembering that we're the Israelites. And that these would be some of the devices and be some of the plans of our enemies that they were going to put into effect, so that we would not want to gather together, and that we would not want to continue to press for the prize or for the mark of the high calling of Christ, and remembering that we have a kingdom to look forward to. We do have something greater and better to look forward to, and that it was going to take something to have to bring us back to that remembrance. It was going to take something to bring us back to that pure mind to remind us of why am I going through what I'm going through. Why am I doing this? What's it all matter? What's it all for? That we've got to be put into remembrance. That we've got to be put back into that place of remembrance to remember what this is all about. Even sometimes to remember that we are the Israelites. That I'm not just an American. That I'm not just a Negro. I'm not just a Puerto Rican. I'm not just a Mexican. I'm not just a homeborn slave. That to remember we have something greater. To remember and bring up our pure mind that there's something greater out there for us, and that the only reason we came to the Americas is because we upset the Father. Because our foreparents had upset the Most High. And that the punishment that we was going to be having to endure was not going to be forever. All right, well, when we come back and remember Isaiah, the 54th chapter, and remembering that, yeah, the Most High said, for a small moment have I forsaken you. But with everlasting joy and gladness, I'm going to receive you again. That, yeah, I punished you for a little bit, but I'm going to bring you back, and I could never forget you. I could never forget you. And that the Father really does love the nation of Israel, and he's got something so much better prepared for us. He has something so much better waiting for us. But we had to get back to our pure mind by way of remembrance. We got to get back to that pure mind by remembering, all right, cool. When we came out of ancient Egypt, our very first captivity as a nation, our very first captivity as a people, what were the conditions like? What was going on? What was happening? What was the mindset? And remember, the rigors of Egypt had us as Israelites. We were howling to the Most High for help. We were howling to the Most High for deliverance. We were howling to the Most High for salvation. That our life was made with hard rigor to keep up with the cost of living, to keep up with the bondage that we were demanded to serve, that it was real rigorous. And it lets us know that the Father finally, after 400 years, he heard our cries. After 400 years, he heard our suffering. After 400 years, he heard what we was going through. And he finally sent the Savior. And we know that Savior's name was Moses. Now, we know from the time Moses was born until the time Moses came back and we actually were delivered was, what, 80 years. That just at the birth of Moses, it wasn't an immediate thing. That just with the and it was prophesied. You can come back and read the Josephus. The birth of Moses prophesied that the Lord was going to send a Savior. By the Hebrew sages at the time, that yes, the Lord was going to send a Savior to deliver the Israelites out of Egypt. But was it an immediate thing that as soon as Moses was born, came out of his mother's womb, it was going to be salvation? That as soon as he was born, that it was we're going to be delivered? No. And remember, the Egyptians were even familiar with knowing that there was going to be an Israelite Savior, a Hebrew Savior. That's why they had a slaughter of the innocents. They had a murder of the innocents. And that they were throwing all the firstborn sons, throwing all the males, not just firstborn, all the males under two years old, they were killing them also. Just like during the time when Christ was born. And that's why the need for Moses' father and mother to hide him in the ark after a period of time, I believe it was 3 months, and sell him down the Nile because of the decree to kill all the newborn Hebrew children. That it took a while. That from the time Moses was born, raised up in Egypt, and all of Egypt's luxuries, what have you, let me know at the age of 40, we saw an Egyptian smiting one of his Hebrew brothers, that he slew the Egyptian. And that in spite of the Egyptian, he exiled himself. And so from the age of 40, he exiled himself for another 40 years. So it wasn't until Moses was 80, almost a century later, 80 years old, that the Most High awoken Moses to his purpose, awoken Moses to his mission. After 80 years of being the prince of Egypt, to become a shepherd, that now after 80 years, I'm sending you back to Egypt because I heard the wailing and the cries of my people Israel. it's time to save them. Now, we know that upon Moses returning back to Egypt, and I know I'm doing a lot of paraphrasing right now, but and a lot of history, but we know upon Moses returning to Egypt, that there was what? That, again, it was not an immediate deliverance of the children of Israel. As Moses brought back the sign that the Father has given him to show the Israelite elders that, yes, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob was now ready to deliver his people out of bondage with the different signs, miracles that was given to Moses, that it still was not an immediate deliverance. It still was not an overnight, give it to me now, we out type of situation. That it took a minute, all right? That it took a minute. And that Moses, that the Lord had hardened Pharaoh's heart. That at a time when Pharaoh was ready to give in and free the Israelites, the Most High would harden his heart and he would renege. And that upon, and the reason I'm going through all this, there's a reason for it, is that upon getting the knowledge that we were going to be delivered from captivity, from Moses, the messenger of the Most High, upon receiving that knowledge that, yes, we're going to be delivered. Yes, we're going to be saved. And that what then was Pharaoh's plot or conspiracy to hinder that plan? That if we as Israelites had time to think about trying to serve our God, we were too idle. That if we as Israelites had time to think about wanting to serve the God of our fathers, go back to our heritage, go back to our culture, then we were too idle. So they came up with ways to increase the workload. So now, to keep up with the cost of living, similar to today, then how can I pay my bills? How can I make sure my family's going to eat? How can I make sure we're going to be taken care of? That the government, the Egyptian government at the time, had taken away certain benefits. They had taken away certain benefits to where now our need to survive became more pressing. Our need to worry about my daily bread, my need to worry about how I'm going to be taken care of, my need to worry about whatever debts we might have been in, that became overwhelming. So now the thought process of wanting to go out and be delivered and go serve our God was put on the back burner, forgotten about. And we can find the same thing, similar circumstances, because we do know that the Most High tells in Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verse 11, that the Most High requires that which is past, and that history does repeat itself. And we can see the similar type of circumstances being played out now here in America, here in Babylon the Great, now in spiritual Egypt. And that now we're able to come back now and see and understand that if we come back and look at it, that as we as Israelites have received the knowledge that we Israelites now, and we first, again, got the knowledge, there was a joy. There was a happiness. There was a relief. But as we're here for a while, then as that kind of wears off, it seems like, all right, cool, what's next? All right. Again, that staleness starts to set in. And now I'm worried about bills. I'm worried about how I'm going to eat. I'm worried how I'm going to be taken care of. And now the necessity to gather together, the necessity to stay motivated, the necessity to stay inspired starts to dwindle. The necessity to be inspired by the scriptures really starts to tailor off. And there's a numbness that does start to set in. And what Peter's reminding us of is that if we're going to serve our pure minds, and get back to that pure state again of when we first came in and got to receive the knowledge of the truth that we're the Israelites and that we have something greater to look forward to, he said it's by way of remembrance. That it's going to be by way of remembrance. That we have to come back and remember who we are and what our purpose is. And that's one of the reasons I went, again, I did want to go over some of these, I wanted to share some of these scriptures that I put together for myself to help keep myself motivated, to help keep myself going, to help keep my light shining. in the midst of all the type of different type of things that do occur, all the different type of temptations that do overtake a person, and that we really are following in the steps of Christ. We really are following in the steps of Jesus Christ, even to the mental tiredness. That remember, we might get a chance to get to it tonight. Remember that Christ was giving so much, just giving and giving and giving and giving and giving, from healing people by the thousands, ministering to people by the thousands, that he didn't get any sleep. He didn't get any rest because of the magnitude of the work that was required. Having to raise up teachers as far as the 12 disciples, do all the teaching, and do all the traveling. Very taxing. Very, very extremely taxing. To where when he fell asleep on the ship, he did what? A hurricane, a damn near hurricane rose up, a storm rose up, and men that were fishermen, Peter being one of them, James and John as being fishermen, raised on the sea, raised on boats, they were fearful for their lives. Now, I have there's a lot of reality TV shows, a lot of reality documentaries, where it shows you about snow crab fishermen, tuna fishermen, deep sea tuna fishermen, and we can see some of the storms that these men are in. And for us land loving individuals, to see some of the waves that the boats are in, be like, oh, heck to the no. I can't see it. Can't happen. There's no way. And they're looking like, oh, yeah, it's a little bit rough out here today. Yeah, wow. Okay. For Peter, James, and John to have that type of experience of being fishermen on a ship to where the waves were coming over the bow into the ship, and they got fearful. How bad was the storm? Yeah, and then, and I'm only trying to use that to quantify, how bad was this storm that it had these fishermen fearful? And then in having these fishermen fearful, Yahushua is on the bottom of the boat, the ship, sleep. How tired was he? How exhausted was he from having to take this information out, take this knowledge, take these scriptures, and now share it with the rest of Israel? And also still be responsible for the education of the 12 disciples at the time. How taxing was it that the man was on the ship asleep? And again, in just trying to stir up our pure minds away of remembrance, that there's times each of us gets exhausted. There's times each of us can get exhausted and get even frustrated at how much giving is required, of how much mental and physical energy is required just to do some simple, everyday, common tasks. There's a taxing. There's a willingness to want to just sit down and rest somewhere, want to be able to retire. But if we're going to stir up our pure minds by way of remembrance, even Yahushua came back and told us what? Foxes have holes and birds have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. And we're going to actually read that scripture here in a little bit. And again, I'm just trying to go over this to as a reminder that through the exhaustion, through the tiredness, through the mental dexterity that's required in being in this work, therefore, as exhausted and as tired and as taxed as Yahushua was, we got to come back and make sure we're studying so we can see that when we're going through the same steps, we're going through the same thing, that we can know that we're on the right path. Because if not, our thinking will no longer be pure. Our minds will no longer be pure. And like the warning that Luke gave us, let me pull that up real quick. The warning that Luke gave us. As I pull it up. Brother Amon, please read that scripture one more time, Mary. Say finish up 3 and verse 1.
You got it. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 1. This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both, which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance.
All right, that we want to stir up our pure minds by way of remembrance. Because if we're not careful, I'm going to go to real quick, holding 2 Peter, chapter 3, verse 1, getting Luke chapter 21, and verse 34. I'll read that here. Going to Luke chapter 21, and verse 34. And it says, and take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and cares. Luke 21:34. And take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and cares of this life, and so that day come upon you unawares. For as a snare shall it come on all them that dwell on the earth, that dwell on the face of the whole earth. Luke 21, verse 36. Watch ye therefore, and pray always, that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass, and to stand before the Son of Man. So if we're not careful, and that we got to keep coming back and baptizing, that keep back, come back and washing our minds, washing our hearts, that as we're living in these last days, and we're living in these times, Yahweh Shai is warning us, take heed, in Luke 21:34, take heed. Take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts, and we know the hearts are of the mind, that your minds be overcharged with surfeiting. And looking up the word surfeiting. Surfeiting is oppressing the system by excessive eating and drinking, cloying, loading, or filled to disgust. Surfeiting, the act of feeding to excess, gluttony. And not just in an actual physical diet, okay, which can obviously happen. But where does the act of a physical diet, how does that fit into this right here? In the search and the desire and the need for comfort. How many times do we give ourselves over to comfort food or comfort eating? That because of the distresses, because of the stressors, because of the weight that we carry in this work, after receiving the knowledge that we're the Israelites, after receiving the knowledge that we have a kingdom to look forward to, that in that numbness that overtakes us, and the temptations that ride us, that the need for comfort, the need for some type of mental ease, the need for some type of escape, that now we're giving ourselves over to, again, I'm going to read it one more time, that we'll find ourselves given over to oppressing the system by excessive eating and drinking. And for some people, that might be very literal. I just can't stop eating junk food. I just can't stop. Or I find myself just drinking so much because I can't find anything else to ease my mind. I can't find anything. I'm addicted to needing to comfort myself. I'm eating all the wrong food. I'm drinking all the wrong food. I'm just drinking. And I'm searching for some type of comfort. But the comfort food and the comfort eating and the comfort drinking That's not going to ease my mind. That's not going to bring our minds back to purity. The only thing that's going to get my mind back pure again is going back and remembering the scriptures. It's going back and remembering what this is all about. That's the only thing that's going to get our minds back on course. But many of us, we start from binge watching television to just give myself over to excess, to anything that does not have me get back in the scriptures. I'm binge watching YouTube. I'm just giving myself to music. I'm just going to listen to music all day long. I'm just going to find some type of way to veg out. I just want my mind and my brain to just go numb. Some people, it might even be and going to excess. I'm just going to work out. I'm going to work out to excess because I'm not going to eat. I'm not going to do the drinking, but I'm just going to give myself over to just constantly working out. That's all I'm going to do. For another person, it might be, all I'm going to do is study herbs. I'm not going to study scriptures. I'm just going to study medicine. I'm just going to study herbs. And that's all I'm going to do. But in the study of the medicines, in the study of the herbs, in giving yourself over to just constantly working out, how is it any different from giving yourself over to just constantly eating, to just constantly drinking? Where are you stirring up your pure mind by way of remembrance? Where are you going back to, and what did Christ give us for the way of remembrance? The Holy Spirit, which is what? The scriptures. So in all these different types of situations, what's the one thing that's not being sought after? What's the one thing that's not being relied upon? It's the scriptures. For another person, it might be, I'm going to give myself over to just sleeping all day long. I'm just going, at every opportunity, I'm taking a nap. That I just don't want to think. That can be done. But how is that going to bring your mind back to remembrance? And if your mind is not being returned to a way of remembrance, how can you purify your mind? How is your mind going to get pure? It's not. It's not. So I'm going to read Luke 21:34 one more time as I got the blood of that mind holding 2 Peter 3 and 1. I'm going to read this one more time. Luke chapter 21 verse 34. And it says, and take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting. You just give it to excess. Again, it can be excess of anything. From food to internet to working out to whatever it might be. That's all you give your mind to. Trying to find some comfort. Trying to find some ease. Trying to find some type of stress relief. And take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and cares of this life. That you, a person, for me and his work, after a while, you start to develop a bucket list of things that you haven't accomplished. You start to develop a bucket list of things that you haven't done that you want to get done, things that you want to do, just for some type of stimulation. Just for some type of something different. If we're not careful, it tells you that now I'm more concerned about my bucket list. I've reached this age, and I still ain't did this. I reached this age, and before it all goes away, I want to go do this. I want to go do that. I want to check this out. That if we're not careful, we're going to be searching for all these different avenues. We're going to be searching for all these different distractions. And in the back of our mind, we're telling ourselves, it's okay because I need some stimulation. It's okay because I'm bored.
I'm numb. I need something to kickstart. I need something, not the scriptures. I need something to make me feel good about me. So we start finding ourselves having our minds go to all these different places. And we're not stirring up our pure mind by way of remembrance. That pure Israelite mind of what do I got to do to get to the kingdom? What do I got to do to make it to the kingdom? I got to stop eating pork because most sides against that. If that's what I got to do to make it to the kingdom, I'm going to do that. I'm a sister. I got to put on a dress. I've never wore dresses before. But now if this is what I got to do to make it to the kingdom, I'm going to put on a dress. What I got to do to get to the kingdom? It's not about Friday. It's not about Sunday worship. It's about Friday night worship. Friday to now. Is that actual Sabbath? All right, cool. Let me make that adjustment because I want to get to the kingdom. I want to be with God. I want to be with Him. So if I got to make this change or make that change, I'm willing to go ahead and do it because my eyes on the prize. I want to get to the kingdom of heaven. I want to make it to the kingdom. But after a while, as a person starts making changes, and the kingdom ain't here yet, as a person starts making changes, and I'm still here, I'm still faced with this, I'm still faced with that, the doubt starts to set in. The hype really is just becomes that. It's just hype. I've heard this before. I know where you're going. I've got this already. Man, just I know this already. I've heard all this before. And that coldness starts to set in. That numbness starts to set in. And that's where we got to be careful. That remember, as Christ told us in Revelation chapter 2, verses 4 through 7, he was talking about how we lost that first love. How we can still be going through the motions. We can still be robotic in what we're doing, but we're not doing it with that same passion, that same zeal, that same fire. But one thing I was going into with that study was why did we start to lose that fire? We're not doing it for the first love. Again, how did Christ recognize our first love? Like he said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. So as we made changes in our lives, there was a fire. There was a joy that I'm doing something for Christ. I'm doing something for the Most High. If it was having to debate with people about the eating of pork, making sure that you can order pizza, make sure there's absolutely no pepperoni on any other pizza that's going to be touching my slice. And ready to get into discussions and battles to pull the scripture out, to defend the gospel, to defend the truth. And there was a joy. There was a rejuvenation. There was a quickening of our spirits in doing things like that. At first, that might even mean a little bit of nervousness that I'm actually going to bring out the Bible and show somebody the scriptures. But it got good. It becomes great. But after a while, we start telling ourselves, it's time to use wisdom. After a while, we start telling ourselves that, well, not everybody's going to get it. After a while, we tell ourselves, you know what, you can't do it where you eat at. I can't bring this type of thing to work. And whenever I bring up scriptures, me and my family members, we just get in arguments. So I went ahead and just stopped giving scriptures because all I was going to do is keep leading the arguments. And now we're supposed to be winning people, and I don't want to go through that work of continuing to pull scriptures. I'm just not feeling it. I'm just not seeing it. So now we start to give ourselves over to other things to give us that stimulation. Be it video games, traveling, vacations, just sitting up, you know what, I got to get ready for work. I got to make sure I'm good for work. So everything so that I'm not getting myself into the book. I'm not getting myself over the study. And again, Yahweh Shai gave us this warning. In Luke 21, verse 34, again, it says, and take heed, be warned, take heed to yourselves. Lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and cares of this life. And so that day come upon you unawares. Verse 35, for as a snare shall come on all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. Watch ye therefore and pray always, that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that should come to pass, and to stand before the Son of Man. Again, we want to be counted worthy to be able to escape these things by keeping our minds pure. And how do we keep our minds pure? By way of remembrance. Remembering what? The scriptures. Because the scriptures are going to let us remind us who we are and why we're here. The scriptures can remind us, this is why I'm putting in so much work, and it seems like it's coming to so little. This is why it seems like I'm on a hamster wheel. Seems like I'm running top speed and going nowhere. That this all seems like a waste of time. So let me get myself my mind over some other things. Let me get my mind over to some other stimulation, because right now this just ain't working. Because right now I need something more. I need something deeper. So let me get myself over to, I'm going to stop studying scriptures. I'm going to get myself over to studying the zodiacs. I'm going to stop studying scriptures. I'm going to get myself over to studying herbs. I'm going to stop studying the scriptures. I'm going to get myself over to philosophies, to yoga meditations, where I'm just going to meditate on these things. I'm not meditating on the scriptures. Now I'm really meditating on my body and my breathing and tantric sex or what have you. Now I'm going to get my mind over to these other things, that the cares of this life and other things enter in. And again, it says it chokes the word. And this is what we want to be careful of. Is the word getting choked out? Is God's word getting choked out of us? Remember, that was the warning that Christ gave us in Revelation chapter 2. That you're still doing some work, but your first love you lost your first love. As you lost your first love. I'm gonna go to Mark real quick. As I had the brother I'm holding on Second Peter, I'm gonna come right back to it. I'm gonna go to Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4. I'm gonna read verses 18 and 19. Mark chapter 4, verses 18 and 19. And it says, and these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word. So again, we have another scenario, another example of Israelites that actually hear the word that they're Israelites. They get that, hear the word, and get to receive with joy the fact that we are the Israelites. From Christ being black to whatever it might be, that we are the Israelites. And they hear that word, but they got the word, and the metaphor has been given, that it was sown among thorns. That there was a lot of other things going on in their mind when they were first taught this, when they first got the word. Verse 19, Mark chapter 4, verse 19. Again, on the book of Mark, the 4th chapter, the 19th verse. And it says, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches. And if you're reading along, I hope so. We're in Mark chapter 4, verse 19. I'm going to read again from the top. And the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches and the lusts of other things entering in, choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. So are we being careful, mindful, observant, circumspect, that the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches and the lusts of other things entering in, are these things entering into our minds to where now it's causing that surfeiting? To where now the word is getting choked out. My belief in the word is getting choked out. My faith in the word is getting choked out. And now I'm becoming unfruitful. This is what we really want to take a look at and examine, brothers and sisters. For the, and again, this is more of a class. This ain't necessarily for beginners. And it can be. Hopefully I'm not going covering too many deep topics or covering too many deep things that are just too hard to be understood right now. But we have to be careful that as we come into this knowledge and find out Jesus Christ is the Savior, Yahweh Shai is the Savior, and there's that joy, and there's that zeal, and there's that energy, and there's that power, and that zeal, that as that zeal starts to diminish, is it because I'm living the cares of this world? What are some of the cares of this world? I'm worried about my credit more. I'm worried about my living conditions. I'm more worried about a bucket list of things I want to accomplish in my life before I die. Are we letting these type of things enter in? That now the cares of this world are really coming into play. And the deceitfulness of riches. And again, what would be the deceitfulness of riches today for us in 2019? Not winning the lotto, because the odds of any of us winning the lotto is really incomparable. You really can't bank account on that. But wouldn't that be something like a credit score? I'm not saying that to get your credit score is and work on it is wrong, but does that become your whole world? That now you're so guarding your credit score because that's the only way you're going to make it in this world is through a credit score. As many more of us are using our ATM cards and our debit cards, we see that the chip is on the card. To where at one time you could just slide your chip through the reader. That's all it took. Now you got to turn your chip around and insert your card around and insert the chip. But now we're seeing that the cloning, identity theft and cloning of our credit cards, our debit cards, is definitely advancing. To where just to have the chip on your card is not enough protection. Because they're cloning the cards with the chips now also. It just happened to me in Yasserai this past week. It just happened to me and my wife this past week. Yeah, we went to a gas station, one that we normally don't go to. I don't have to throw the branding out there. We went to a gas station, one that we normally don't go to, and within, I want to say, probably about 24 hours, if not less, they hit the account. And it's funny because on the transaction report that she was able to get from her bank, they said that they had swiped the card. The card was in our possession the whole time, and we were in the hospital with our daughter, Rakamaya. So we didn't swipe the card, but the transaction report says that whoever had cloned our card was able to swipe the card. And it's a card with a chip on it. Now, as much as it tells us in Revelations, that the mark of the beast was going to be whoever received that thing in the forehead or in the right hand. that they would not be able to buy, sell, or trade unless they had the mark of the beast. Now, do we use a debit card? Do we use the ATM card? Yeah, we sure do. You're damn right we do. But look at how they're getting everybody's mind worried about identity theft, worried about their credit, worried about their money, and how it's making us become so cautious. And now I'm looking more for how my money is not going to be stolen, how my credit is going to stay good. Because if my credit is bad, how can I buy, sell, or trade anything if I have bad credit? And truthfully, in this society, they got to where you can't even get a job if you have bad credit. They're having things set up to such a level for a person to be worried about and so concerned with their credit that if you have to get a job, the market closes, whatever, you have to lose your job, and you go to apply for another one, that if you have bad credit, you will not get hired at some places. It's not even for corporate jobs. You won't get hired at some call centers if you have bad credit. So how much are people being directed and driven to be worried about their credit? To now, if I don't have a good credit score, I won't be able to do anything in the society. And with worrying about our credit to that degree, worried about our credit to that degree, how it's taken away from us the words of Christ that say, whosoever has forsaken houses, land, or what have you, for my name's sake, shall receive a hundredfold in this lifetime and in the world to come, life everlasting. So if, to me, it becomes a faith in Christ and in the words of Christ and the Most High, and a faith in the system. If the only way, if we let ourselves slip, that the only way we're going to be able to get anything is to have that good credit. That's the only way we're going to get it. So we're really consumed with making sure our credit stays top notch. Okay. Given. But then Christ says that those who have the mark of the beast are not going to enter into the kingdom. There's a dilemma here. It would seem like there's a contradiction here. Or is Christ able to do we believe in the words of Christ that we're doing things for his work's sake, for his name's sake, and it happens to hurt our credit some, that he can still help us acquire what we need to acquire even though we don't have good credit? But because we did it for his sake, he's going to be the one that gives us a hundredfold. Or do we be so worried about giving and so worried about helping others out that at the risk of it might hurt my credit, at the risk it might hurt my credit score, I'm not going to do it because I have a bucket list of things I want to purchase. I have a bucket list of things I want to get done. If we sacrifice for Christ's name's sake, we're going to say that he's not able to open the doors and put the spirit on people, that when our ways please him, that he will not make our enemies be at peace with us? Now, I know personally that from being in this work and letting go of my job in the military over 20 years ago. And instead of focusing on just having to make sure I got my house together and make sure I got my credit together and make sure that I had my things together for me, that the Most High has given me houses, He's given me vehicles, He's given me all these things. And the focus was not on making sure my credit score was great. The focus was on if I'm doing for Him, if I'm doing the work I'm doing for Him and making the sacrifice I'm making for Him, that everything that's needed will be provided for. Did Yahweh Shai even for the Last Supper, just to bring you some forms of remembrance, when a place was needed for the Last Supper, didn't I cry, was He not able to send the disciples to someone that reached out to Christ and say, if y'all want to have the Last Supper, the Passover, I have a place. Whenever you want it, come and get it. Were these things able to be provided? Did somebody open their heart? Yeah. Somebody did open their heart. Charity is what secured the things that were needed. Love is what secured the things that were needed, not credit. That and making sure that my charity account is good with Christ. Make sure my alms account is good with Christ. Will Christ look out? And until a person puts himself in that position to test Christ's words, to prove Christ's words, and to see the Most High in Christ come through for them, then you're gonna be lacking. You really truly are going to be lacking, and you're going to be riddled with fear. You're going to be truly riddled with fear. That whereas you started in the spirit, whereas you started, all it took was somebody to give you the scriptures, and that was all it was needed and required for you to change. That now it's about what you see. I can't see how me sacrificing. I can't see how this. That I'm going to be getting the short end of the stick again. So when the scripture says the Most High gives us benefits daily, are you saying that you don't see where the Lord gives you benefits daily? That means you stop looking. Or you even changed your definition of what a benefit is. At one time, the spiritual benefit of knowing that you were following the Bible was all it took for you to change. Now it's not a benefit unless you can purchase something with it. Now it's not a benefit unless you can have sex with it. Are you starting to get drunk with the cares of this life? Are you starting to get drunk with the, and is the word starting to get choked out of you? The belief in the word. You know, I'm asked a lot of times, how does a person get to the point where they remember scriptures more? Use them. The more you use a scripture, the more you use something, the more you'll remember it. I'm not saying there are some people that just have academic minds. There are some people that just have photographic memories. That is true. But remember, if we're going to look at educations, Peter had the third grade academic education, had the academic education of a third grader. I'm going to say it again. Peter had the academic education of a third grader, as opposed to Paul having an Oxford, Cambridge University education. Why was Peter able to do the works that he did? By his faith. And from his application of the more he actually applied the scripture, not just quoting, the more he actually applied the scripture, the more you're able to use the scripture. And you know what's amazing? If you come back and think about it, two brothers and sisters, during the time of Peter, they didn't have books, chapters, and verses. Books, chapters, and verses were not inserted into the Bible until the time of King James, when he protected the 47 top scholars to translate the Bible from the Hebrew, Greek, and Latin into English. So in order to help these scholars keep up with where they were at in the translation, that's when the books, chapters, and verses were added to the Bible. But when those letters and when those things were first written, there was no Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. There was no Genesis chapter 25, verse 8. There was no Proverbs 16, verse 7. It was all just writing. It was all just written out. There were no verses. There were no chapters and verses. That was only given so that the translators knew where they were at when they came back to translating. So how were these men, all the way up to the time of King James, which was 1611, then how were these men able to remember the scriptures? They used them. They used the scriptures. They actually applied the scriptures. And the more you apply the scripture, the more you use the scripture, the easier it is to remember. Because you've seen the power of it work. You've seen it work. I need to take about a little quick two-minute break. Could you go back to 2 Peter, read that, and kind of break it down a little bit for me?
You got it. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 1 says, "This second epistle, or letter, beloved, I now write unto you in both, which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance." So, what Peter, again, what the brother's breaking down earlier about this one, what Peter's doing here is he's reminding us that the scriptures is what stirs up our pure minds by way of remembrance. This is the scriptures that we got to return back to. It's this doctrine. It's the words of the Most High that we have to refamiliarize ourselves with, so to speak, that you know, gets that zeal for where your priorities are supposed to be, and get that back up and running and get that back going. Because our minds, as the brother's been bringing out, our minds are on too many other things. There's so many distractions in this world that it's easy for other things to become our priority rather than this work, rather than doing the work of the Most High. It's easy for us to get, it's so easy for us to get distracted because there's so many things available around us to distract us, to throw us off, like the brother was bringing out. You become more worried about your credit score. That's one way that the word gets choked out of you. It's like these other things start becoming priority, and your belief starts to diminish. It's like, okay, well, this, you know, I'm reading and I'm going to class and I'm doing it, but, you know, I also got to worry about this over here or I'm going to lose it. I also got to worry about this over here or my car is going to get repossessed. I also got to worry about this over here or I'm not going to have a place to live. Yeah, you might have a place to live. It might just not be what you want. It might not be to your comforts or your standards. But that becomes such a priority, and that's how this word gets choked out, as the brother's been bringing out. So the scriptures are supposed to bring you back to remembrance of what's supposed to be a priority as an Israelite. You know, Ecclesiastes in the Bible, chapter 12, verse 13, as a matter of fact, might as well just grab it real fast. But it says the whole duty of man is basically to fear the Most High and keep his commandments. That's supposed to be our only concern. That's supposed to be the only thing that we're our only concern. That's supposed to be the only thing we got to worry about, or we have to make sure we stay on top of. Not all this other stuff that we got going on today. So you know, we're truly in captivity if we're worried about our credit, to the point where, you know, they've made it now, like the brothers brought out, a lot of jobs you can't even get without a good credit score. We try to forget about our credit, and just let the credit go. Then they step it up a notch and say, well, you can't work here, you can't work here, you can't work here if your credit's not good enough. So now guess what we got to do? Now we got to go back to worrying about our credit. Like, dang, I got to get this job right here, man. This is really the only field that, you know. So I got, you know, even like the brother said, a call center. You got to have good credit, work at certain call centers or work for certain insurance companies as a tech support. Stuff that you don't even need like a college education for or a degree or any type of entry-level crap. Like, it really is ridiculous. Brother Michelle brought that out earlier. It's like, that really is ridiculous for something that doesn't even require schooling, some entry-level job, and your credit has to be tip-top. Like, what, you know, you can see what, we can see what society is trying to do to us. Like, they're turning the heat up on us. They're applying the pressure more. They're making it harder. They're making sure that this society, this world, this present evil world that we still live in, is making sure that the word gets choked out of us. They're making sure they provide enough distractions so that we don't return to our power. Just like during the time of Egypt, what the tactics that the Pharaoh started using, and he started ordering his taskmasters to do against us, against our forefathers, was give them more work. If you got time to think about returning to your power and serving your power, then you're too idle. We need to put more in front of them. We need to give them more distractions. We need to give them more work. We need to come up with stuff and just throw in their face so that they don't have time to think about their God. So they stay dizzy, that they're not idle. They stay busy. They're too busy to think about the Most High, to think about their power. And that's exactly what they are doing today, as the brothers been bringing out. They're doing the same thing. There's nothing new under the sun. They're doing the exact same thing. They're just throwing stuff in our faces, and it's meant to choke the word out. It's meant to get our minds off the Most High and back in this world and what we should deem as important. But
and with that, also, you can see where if we get back to that pure remembrance, remember, even once we escaped out of Egypt and we're in the wilderness, if any type of tribulation, if any type of inconvenience came up, what were our forefathers ready to do? They was ready to run right back to Egypt. Like, oh, man, we had it so much better than Egypt. Why did I come out here to serve your God, Moses? This has been a waste of time. This is going to destroy my family. This is going to destroy my kids. Why did I leave Egypt to come out here just to be destroyed by serving your God, Moses? That was the mentality that our people took, to where several times the Israelites sought to stone Moses. And I'm not talking about getting high with some weed. I'm not talking about drinking, smoking some butter. I'm talking about taking rocks and throwing them at him until they killed him. Because of any little inconvenience. It was never a remembrance of them stirring up their pure minds, not just by way of remembrance of, we just came out of Egypt. A year ago, y'all were slaves. When we left out of Egypt, y'all left with the riches of Egypt. Whereas before, you were slaves. You don't remember that? While the Egyptians had 3 days of darkness, y'all were taken care of. You don't remember that? When we walked through the Red Sea, we saw the Red Sea consume the Egyptian army. Y'all don't remember that? We got to the place where the water was bitter. We threw a tree into the water. The water was made sweet. Y'all don't remember that? Y'all, every day y'all wake up, you're eating manna from heaven, food from heaven. Just this morning, you ate manna this morning. You don't remember that? The quail. You wanted some meat to go with the manna. You don't remember that? All you can do is complain. All you can do is criticize. That's all you can do. You don't remember nothing that the Father has done for you. Then what are you doing or using to stir up your pure mind? This is what we got to be careful of, brothers and sisters. That the scripture does tell us the Most High loads us with benefits daily. We know from Baruch chapter 4, verse 4, it says, happy are we, in Baruch chapter 4, verse 4, it says, happy are we, O Israel, for things that are pleasing unto God are made known unto us. We know from Psalms 147, verse 19 and 20, the Most High showed his word unto Jacob, his statutes and his judgments unto Israel. He has not dealt so with any other nation. And as for his judgments, they have not known them. The other nations don't know how to please God. But the things of what it takes to please God is being shown to us. And now we're at a point where it's a burden. Now we're at a point where I'm numb. Again, by way of remembrance, you know, we really do forget. You've got a lot of IMS locations set up to where a lot of Native Americans, a lot of so-called Native Americans, a lot of so-called Mexicans are being treated like it's shadow slavery days. Families being pulled apart as we speak, November 5th, 2019, this is happening. We have our brothers and sisters that are again, somebody for the very first time is trying crack right now. Somebody for the very first time is trying some crystal meth right now. Some 4-year-old girl is getting raped right now. As the movie Harriet is coming out this weekend, or this week. Maybe that's something Israelites need to go and really check out. I don't know how they're going to really portray it. We can best believe that it's going to be, probably show some evils of slavery, where they show just how great white people are, and how they sacrifice to put their lives on the line to make sure that Harriet and 80 slaves got free.
Right.
But maybe it's time to go and see that and remember what it was like in early America. That now the things you complain about now, the things you criticize now, what would those slaves living on those plantations, what would they say about the lifestyle they see you living right now? Why are so many people from Central and South America trying to get to America and cross the border? To escape whatever hell they have going on in those countries. They're willing to fight death to get to America. And all we can do is sit here is complain and gripe and criticize what we're going through. I was watching the John Witherspoon interview. John Witherspoon had 11 other brothers and sisters. 11, all living in one small apartment, one small place. Watching the Master P interview. Master P had to live, him and his brother, C. Murder, had to live with his grandparents in the Magnolia Projects in New Orleans. It was 16 of them in a three-bedroom project. 16. And we come back now, have space, have homes, and there's nothing but complaining. Nothing but a sense of discontent. I was watching a Sicari video, and it's Sicari versus an InfoWars agent, I guess. Maybe I want to look it up later on. And one thing he was bringing out was about the 13th Amendment, because the InfoWars person was a believer in the Constitution. So the discussion goes to the 13th Amendment, and they're bringing out facts about the 13th Amendment, that it says that slavery is abolished except if you're a criminal. So slavery was not abolished in America. And with the adding of the 13th Amendment, it actually made matters worse for minorities in America, especially so-called blacks in America. In order to be considered a criminal, they were throwing people in prison for just loitering. But now, it was not easy to say what? Because you have a criminal record or criminal history, you could be a slave because you're a criminal. For loitering? Last week, I was a slave. This week, I was so-called freed. I've known no other life but to work the cotton fields. Now I'm standing around, not knowing what to do, but because I'm standing around, I can be arrested for loitering, thrown in jail, and now be forced back in slavery because now I have a criminal record for loitering, for jaywalking. Maybe it's time to go back and watch the movie Life. How many people were thrown in the Mississippi, Alabama chain gangs and were innocent for life? You come home every day to a air-conditioned space and all you can do is gripe and complain and feel like your life ain't doing nothing, that you're not achieving or moving like you feel you should. But you, on top of having the lifestyle you have, you have the knowledge of what it takes to please the Most High, but you're still discontented. It's pitiful. It's shameful. And watching that Sakara interview, y'all get a chance to watch it. They were saying that the companies that benefit from prison labor or slavery. And you can do a look. It's the 50 American companies that benefit from prison labor. The very first one they have on there is Victoria's Secret. Victoria's Secret gets a lot of their stuff made through prison labor from Victoria damn Secret. Walmart, Target, and the one that kind of blew me away, Whole Foods. So as our people are fighting to go organic, fighting to go because it's healthier, guess what you're supporting? You're supporting the prison labor slave units stretched across America because they're growing your organic food on a prison farm somewhere so you can have it stabbed across your food organic, like at a place called Whole Foods. Walmart. And again, it was just to me, it was just very ironic. And considering we walk around here talking about we're numb, I'm not feeling this, I'm not with it. But what is a person doing to revive their pure mind? So the time is definitely ran out on us here for this episode of Blog Talk. Next Blog Talk class will be tomorrow night, and I'll definitely be able to sit in and help host that one. Wednesday night, it will be 8 p.m. Albuquerque time, 10 p.m. San Antonio time. Okay, brother Mon, do you have any announcements? Anything you want to add on, say, bring out, brother? But right, now's time to do it.
Not at this time. Excellent perspective. It was something that really excellent class. It was something that really helped me. You know, because I have to say, you know, more than once, I let the cares of this world choke the word out of me, but just because that happens doesn't mean it's a hopeless situation. Just all you got to do is get back in these scriptures. All you got to do is get back in this book and make studying the word of the Most High's word your priority, and you can undo that mess. You know what I mean? That's what I got out of it for the most part. I just wanted to throw that in there, and I appreciate that.
True. Good. All right, well then, for the brothers there in Albuquerque, those of us in San Antonio, Houston, Norfolk, and for Israel scattered across the world, let's just shalom. And brothers, sisters, work on stirring back up your pure mind. Work on getting back to that first love, where there was nothing you wouldn't do for the scriptures. It wasn't a sacrifice that was too big for you to take on for the sake of the scriptures. We want to get back to that pure mind, that pure state of love. Okay? So with that, my name is Mashaba.
I'm Odd.
And we'd like to go ahead and say shalom.
Shalom. The water.